Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Pathfinder 101 podcast. Today's interview is with Mr. Jeff Stager. He is an insurance agent with State Farm Insurance.
Hey there.
Hello, Mr. Stager.
It's good to meet you, Svenek.
Nice to meet you, too. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to meet with me for this interview. I really appreciate it.
Sure, of course.
So this first question is, what did you want to become when you were a high school student? And what made you consider that particular career at that time, such as parents, mentors, or certain life-changing experiences?
Well, culturally, everything was very, very different. I graduated in 1980. Back then, okay, from what I know from my kids' experience at St. Mark's, and then me as a parent of three St. Mark's sons, St. Mark's today is a very different place. And culturally, the times were very different when I was in high school. There was nowhere near the level of pressure, the lack of effort I put in on a day-to-day basis at St. Mark's that I would have graduated, you know, anytime within the last, you know, 15, 20 years. I was never a serious student. I don't know if this is an interview you're really going to want to pass on to anybody. I didn't do my homework. I didn't do the reading. I just kind of got by with basically C's. I was not motivated by grades. The only thing that really motivated me at St. Mark's was really great teachers and then subjects that interested me. And I did very well at those, but the rest, I just wasn't a serious student at all. And I'd say even back then, most students were much more serious than I was. And there's no way I could have gotten through St. Mark's today. But I guess, so my thinking, you know, back then, it was just understood that you went to college and that a college degree was your key to, a successful future. So I knew that much, and I knew I wanted to go to college, and, you know, I applied, I went, it was between University of Texas and SMU. I decided at the last minute to go to SMU, and I really didn't know what I wanted as a career. My father was a physician. His dad was a physician. So I assumed, well, I ought to just go pre-med and be a physician. And I learned by about my sophomore year at SMU that I was not cut out to be a physician. I was having a whole lot of fun with my fraternity. I still wasn't a serious student. I finally realized after my sophomore year, hey, this is not going to work. I got to figure out something else. So then I just said, well, what's a smart thing to do? Let me go business. And I became a business major. And I learned within about a year, that was probably not the right approach to figuring this stuff out. So, you know, mine was a very atypical approach to a career, I think, when I look at the St. Mark students of today. They are focused, they're disciplined, and they get results. And frankly, I'm amazed I got through it. So I don't know how helpful this is for you, but for maybe those kids who just got no clue what they're going to do, that was me. And I made choices based on what I thought I should do as opposed to what I liked. To kind of fast forward and get you a little bit more information, I got to the end of 4 years at SMU, and I was noticing all my classmates, my fellow classmates, my fellow quote seniors were graduating, but I wasn't, because I had dropped out of too many classes. And so I wasn't doing well grade wise. So I thought, that's about the time when I think I started maturing and growing up and realizing, whoa, this is a real thing called life. And I need to get off the dole and make life work on my own. So I left SMU. I started bartending, and then I got into restaurant management. And then I became a nightclub manager. And then I finally decided it was time to come back to SMU. This is a couple of years. Came back to SMU, finished my degree, and for the first time in my life, made straight A's that last 2 years in college. So, you know, wasn't the fact that I wasn't smart enough. It just was the fact that I wasn't motivated. I just was not motivated. I needed to go out and grow up. I wish that I would have considered the idea of maybe going from high school and not directly into college, but maybe the armed forces. I think that would have, for me, that would have been a much wiser idea. I needed to mature. I needed to grow up. So to give you a sense of who I am, and I know this is not the typical, I don't know if you've done any of these with other people yet, but I'm sure this is in no way typical, my story. It's odd.
I have done a couple, but I find that usually the atypical interviews are the ones that have some of the most interesting viewpoints or advice that are very useful to mention. So I would say that don't be discouraged about this interview. I think,
yeah. Well, it's my life. I've lived it, and I'm happy. I'm successful. I have a 35-year marriage. I've got three great boys who I was able to get them all through St. Mark's. But in terms of being a student, I was never, ever a good student. I guess I started figuring it out late in my college, where I was realizing, you know, I better pick something that I like just to get the hell out of here. And I liked English. And so I said, okay, no more pre-med, no more business major. Now I'm going to be an English major with a medieval studies minor. Had no idea what I was going to do with it, but I knew that if I was going to get the hell out of college with a degree, I better do something that I like, that interests me, that I could then enjoy studying. And that's what I finally did and what started turning me around. And then after going out into the workforce for a couple of years, waiting tables, tending bar, being a nightclub manager, restaurant manager, that's when I realized, you know, wow, it's a real privilege to be able to go to school and just learn for the sake and joy of learning. And so that's why when I went back, all of a sudden, boom, for the very first time in my life, made straight A's.
Could you talk a little bit about your journey after you went back and finished your degree to your current position right now?
Yeah. Okay. So I go back to finish my degree after being in the restaurant nightclub business for a while. And I was taking great courses that I absolutely loved. It was an absolute joy to not have to, like, you know, do a 50-hour a week, 60-hour a week in the nightclub business job, but instead focus all of my time on school and my studies. And I'll tell you, it was, at first, it was a very difficult transition. In the working world, in what I was doing in nightclub and restaurant, you know, the way that your brain works is really rather different. It's all immediate. It's hard for me to explain, but it's kind of immediate focused. It's running on the fly, making decisions on the fly. Whereas in school, you know, you're having to really think a lot about stuff and process stuff in a completely different way. And that transition to get back into school was a difficult one at first. Then I got the hang of it and it was going great. And I did really well, but you know, all of a sudden now I am back. Now I'm in something that I really truly appreciated the value of. And that is, I'm not having to work. I am actually just expanding my mind on something that's actually really cool that I really enjoy. And I, you know, literature and writing, that's kind of what I did. I had no idea what I was going to do with that. I had no idea. I just knew that I loved the subject. As I'm doing this, I started working part-time just for some extra cash at my stepmother's insurance agency. I work around my class schedule. I go in and I was essentially a support staff person in an insurance agency. I had absolutely no idea what an insurance agent did, but you know, I found out that what I had to do is be able to accurately quote people on various insurance stuff. And when they call in with various claim situations, process the claim properly. But what I found in working there was, man, the time went by quickly. I'm sitting here getting paid for just being on the phone and talking to people like they're friends and knowing what to do. And sometimes, you know, they're all hacked off at you and they're angry. And it's kind of a fun challenge to take people like that and calm them down, let them know, look, I'm on your side here. Let me work with you to get you what you need. Now, what is it that's bothering you and how can I fix it? And so it got me to the point where I realized, you know, for a guy with an English major and a medieval studies minor, this isn't such a bad gig. My stepmother seemed to like what she was doing. She was doing well financially. So as I'm finishing up my degree at SMU, I think I'm going to go ahead and interview to see if I could be an agent for her company, which was State Farm. And, the interview process at State Farm takes anywhere from 6 months to 2 years, at least back then, if you wanted to be an agent. And you go through all kinds of testing and personality testing and all of that. And to be perfectly honest, I had no idea what the job was really going to entail. I knew it was going to be doing a lot of stuff I didn't want to do. And that's like cold calling and just trying to get people to give you a chance to move their insurance to me. But what I did like is that I'm like dealing with people on the phone or face to face all day long. And that just doesn't, for me, that doesn't get boring. I got to the whole interviewing, the decision to do it. This kind of lap. I didn't, you know, angle for a job running my own insurance agency as I've now done for 31 years. I had no idea what that was going to be about. I just knew, look, I need to go out and find a job, much less a career. The more I looked at it, you know, I thought, wow, you know, a State Farm agent actually can be a career. And you can simply be doing the same thing for decades, which even back then started looking a little sketchy, you know, for people doing, you know, who'd gone through college and stuff back in my era. And as I understand it, that's much less of something you seek out today is a 30-year career with the same employer. It just doesn't happen much. I never really gave much thought to it all other than, hey, this is what's fallen in front of me. And it made sense at the time.
You're talking about how if you could go back in time, you'd probably focus more on academics. Is there anything else that you would do differently if you could go back? Would you choose some other career, or are you happy with how you...
Well, first of all, yeah, I would. First of all, I think my first major difference step would be that I would go from school into the armed forces of some sort and do like a 2 to 4 year stint there. I think that would have been difficult, but it would have been just what I've decided that the Steger brain matures a lot later than most people. I was just an immature kid and I was immature for a long time. And if I would have given myself, say, 4 years before I started college, not only would there be great financial incentives to do that, I would have been much more mature in my approach to college, to my studies. It would have been awesome. I think I would have been a much better student. And then I would have truly appreciated the academic gift that I was given by being able to go to college. Now, the thing that would take away, and what I haven't told you, is I was very involved in my fraternity. I ended up being, the first president elected to my fraternity for an entire school year. I just hadn't, they were always only, one semester shifts. So I guess I majored in my fraternity at first. And I learned more in dealing with people in that fraternity as a fraternity officer. I won't say more. I'd say I learned at least as much in real world stuff and in that fraternity that I learned in all the academics as well. So what did I end up doing for a living? I'm in sales. I run my own sales organization. And it was an incredibly important education for me to be involved in that fraternity. But what I've thought about since then is I probably would have figured that same stuff out within a military environment, and I would have excelled there as well, I think. But it would have been with much better emphasis on discipline, which is what I desperately needed, and I did not have in those early years. So that's one of the things I would do. Now, whether I would go back into being an insurance agent, I think I would. I really like what I do. It's a pleasure to do what I do. I look forward to it. I enjoy my clients. I enjoy getting to know them. Some of them, over decades, and now I've got a relationship with their kids, and it's just kind of a neat thing. It's almost sort of fraternal and familial in what I do. The nice thing about my company is it's basically understood to be the best in its business. It's nice to represent the best, and it's nice to be a representative of an organization that really puts a lot of emphasis on doing the right thing. And it's very much a corporate philosophy of mom, apple pie, Chevrolet, do the right thing, rah, rah, America. It's that kind of company. And I have taken great pride over the years in kind of stumbling into it. Again, I can't say that, hey, I did all this research and State Farm was the one for me. No, it just happened to fall into place. But if there's anything that I can say that I have done a lot of in my life, things I fall in place in front of me, and I've had the good fortune of choosing to go with it. I've done a lot of that sort of go with your gut kind of thing over time. And that's like how I chose to be an English major. Now, I can't tell you how much I have honed my ability to communicate persuasively in writing. And I can sit there, and I have repeatedly done this, talked clients into staying with me and my organization, even though they're spending maybe in that particular situation an extra $2,500 a year. That's huge. That's big money. And to be able to craft a communication that makes that happen is an incredible feeling of satisfaction. I had an agent call me last week and say, I'm at my wit's end. I've got this client. They bring in $81,000 a year in premiums. I've got, 15 different policies, 3 different business policies, 1 business. He had an $8,000 theft of a deposit because the employee left the deposit in his car. And so they're canceling him. The policy was in force for a year and a half. And she goes, but they're only looking at that. What do I do? And so I wrote a letter. Whereas if this were my policyholder, what would I say to try and get the company to reverse course, which it does not like to do? She called me back today and said, you're not going to believe this. Your letter won the day. They've reinstated the client. They're not canceling them. They're giving them another shot. To be able to do that, I love being an English major just because of that. So again, I had no idea what I was going to do with my English degree, but it has really helped me in what I've stumbled into as a career. I had no idea I was going to be an insurance agent, but I found that I really enjoy the people part of it all.
Now I'm going to ask you a couple questions about like how does a typical day or week look like for you in specific? So usually, like, what time does your day start? What time does it end? How many hours a week do you work? Do you work any late nights or weekends? And is there any travel associated with your business? And I think you touched on this briefly, but how do you spend most of your days?
Well, when you start out in the insurance industry, you better be prepared to work, you know, 60, 70 hours a week. You better be prepared to get there, you know, by 7 in the morning and not leave, you know, until 7 in the evening, you know, Monday through Saturday. And that's just the way it goes in this business. You're battling. It is a true battle. You're just trying to win new clients. You don't just need to know your stuff. You need to sell it. And there's a huge difference that when you're young and in the industry, you don't quite get that. Or some people do naturally, but I didn't. I'll never forget my boss telling me, you know, Steger, he goes, you're the kind of person, if I ask you what time it is, you explain to me how to build a watch. And what he was trying to show me is, look, yeah, you've got all this product knowledge. You're a smart kid. I get it. You came from St. Mark's, but that's not what your job really is. Yeah, you have to know your stuff, but you need to connect with these people. You need to communicate with them. You need to find out what is bothering them, what solutions they need, and then you need to explain to them why you can solve their problem. And that is a completely different approach. And so you're learning all of that in the early years. And so you're putting in a lot of work. And those weren't when my kids were born. And, you know, it's funny. My wife and I joke about the fact that my oldest son, Jeffrey, he was in a playgroup in the neighborhood when he was one. And right up at the corner of my subdivision is a McDonald's. And once a week, you know, all the neighbor ladies and their one-year-old kids would go up to the McDonald's, get a Happy Meal, and let the kids play on the playground. And that was like the big deal for the week. Well, we had so little money that Laura would sneak in food from the house because we didn't have enough money to buy the Happy Meal. So your life is really, there's a lot of dues paying in the early years of being an insurance agent. You're living on borrowed money, I don't want to get too into esoterica when it comes to insurance work, but bottom line is you start out really lean or with nothing and you build from the ground up. So those first years you are busting your rear end. Now, as the years go on, you know, all of those people, if you treat them right, they stay with you. And so you start getting paid by them over and over, meanwhile, bringing in new business. So all of a sudden, your income starts growing. And it can allow you to do things like when my kids are now in fifth grade, sixth grade, I can actually say, no, I'm not working on Saturdays. I go to my kids' games and I want to be a dad. And I couldn't do that in the first couple of years. After that, I could. And so you start kind of backing off and thinking, okay, how hard do I want to work? The great thing about what I do is I'm my own boss. I decide how many weeks of vacation I get a year, how many sick days I get a year. I get as many as I want. That is my choice. I guess the part that I've always said for years is that there is a compensation in quality of life issues that I, as being my own boss, that is invaluable. And it doesn't filter out to a paycheck, but it's a quality of life. And so, you know, as time has gone on, Yeah, I now pretty much regularly, I work, you know, Mondays through Thursdays, pretty much take Fridays off most of the time. I don't work weekends or evenings anymore. You know, I'll roll in the office usually by 9 or 10, and then I'll leave by about 4 or 5. But I've been doing it 31 years. I've got a great book of business of clients who know me. They love me. They love my staff. And we take very good care of them compared to what else is out there. And, you know, as long as I try and offer a product that exceeds their expectations and that I understand, I'm not here to explain how to build a watch. I'm here to tell them the time and that it's so much about relationships and building relationships if you're in sales. And it's turned out, and I live a very comfortable life. I probably take about 5-6 weeks of vacation a year. So I've gotten to a very comfortable existence. I'm very, very lucky.
You need to maintain any sort of licenses or certifications or anything else to keep up with the industry? And could you also talk about some skills that, aside from like being able to communicate well, being persuasive or being able to write well, that are very useful in your day-to-day job?
Well, that's it. Pretty much. I mean, that there's not much else I need to do other than those things that you just rattled off. That's my bread and butter, being able to do those things. Yeah. As far as licensing. Yeah. I mean, you can't sell insurance without having the proper licensing. And that involves taking continuing education credit that you have to turn in for every 2 years for 20 years. Well, I hit 20 years 10 years ago, so I no longer have to do it. It's awesome. My staff hates the fact that when they have to take it, I say, you know, I don't have to do that anymore. Yeah. So you get it. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. Lawyers have to do that. Doctors, I would imagine, have to do that. So everybody pretty much in a high responsibility job, you know, has to maintain a license.
So could you talk about like how you developed your communication skills, or what are some key things that you keep in mind whenever talking to a client or someone?
It goes back. Well, part of it is innate. I'm really good at kind of reading people and seeing what their message really is behind what they're saying. That's a gift of mine. It has a lot to do with my family dynamics and the way that we communicate as a family and growing up and all of that. But I guess the point being is that if you're empathetic and perceptive, then you really need to focus on what that person is bringing to you in that moment. And so often it's, you know, hostility. It's like, you know, I can't believe that you are raising my rate 15%. You just raised it 5% last year, and this and this and this and this. I've learned ways of taking that kind of anger and turning it around and getting on their side so that they know, number one, that hostility is not intimately personally. My role here is to find a solution for their problem. And, you know, a lot of people who look at insurance would look at that and say, that's the last damn thing I want to do. I don't want to deal with people who are all pissed off all the time. And they're not all the time, but I'm just saying, it's a big part of the job is dealing with people who are upset and knowing how to do that with the kind of finesse so that when they get off that phone, they feel really good about having called compared to how they were feeling the moment they were calling. And I try to train my staff to be the same way. Thing about staff over the years that I've learned is you can train people, you know, to be book smart and how to build that watch. What you can't train is good judgment. And that's just a matter of seeing how they do. And you try and figure that out. But, you know, good judgment involves empathy, involves being able to understand somebody else's, being in somebody else's shoes. And I guess part of what I do, it's really important to be able to have empathy and then to understand what their real problem is versus what they're telling you their problem is, because it isn't always the same. It's related, but it's not the same. And so if you know then how to leapfrog from that initial sort of ego assault on me and turn that around to a partnership with them and finding a solution, then you you are like their hero. It's a real psychodynamic thing that I do. And it's really hard to explain it. You'd think, well, the guy just sells insurance. I mean, come on. There's a whole lot more to it than that. There's some people, that's all they do is sell and take orders and sell. Mine is much more of a relationship business. I don't know if that answered the question. I kind of forgot the question.
So what are the different types of growth opportunities available in the insurance business? And do you think that they're limited in any way as like technology continues to develop?
Yeah, I think there's a real threat, and it's with your generation. You guys don't particularly care to want to have personal relationships with like their insurance guy. You guys, I'm not being mean about this. I'm just trying to explain sort of a general block of younger people. Their approach to things is, let me just go buy it online. And I get that because I'm somewhat of an introvert myself, and I just assume get stuff online. But insurance is a complex thing that it's really hard to commoditize and turn into something where I just say, yep, okay, let me click, click, click. Yep, got myself a policy. It can have real serious consequences regarding some of those choices. And you really ought to have somebody who can explain the differences between those choices and why they're there and what you would want and what is the best choice for you. I think that the concern I have for my industry is that the demand for having that personal insurance agent as opposed to just a place online to go get a policy is really being threatened. And it's not the fact that we don't really offer a value. If I can get you to at least give me a try and listen to why you'd choose me over a Geico or a Progressive or a USAA, they're all really great competitors, offer good products, but why you would want to choose me and basically pay the same thing, then I got you. But the problem is I don't get that opportunity to even make that pitch. So the concern I have is long-term, whether or not the personal insurance agent model is sustainable. I think there always will be for those who are really good at it, but the trend has obviously been that the market, as the market becomes younger and younger compared to, you know, my age, they're definitely going more toward, you know, the Geicos, the Progressives, that kind of choice. And, you know, for my industry, that makes bank of prospective customers smaller and smaller. You know, like I say, if I can just get in front of you guys, I can sell you, but it's the getting in front of you that's hard. Most of my career has been the way that I get in front of a client is because they said, hey, I can't stand my insurance guy, or I can't stand my insurance company, or hey, I just moved to the area. You know, who's your insurance guy? That's the way that I got my business. That was most of the way I got my business after I first started and was just pounding the pavement, cold calling. Now, a lot of the younger agents, they're paying for leads, which is basically, you know, you answered some sort of an online or whatever kind of questionnaire, provided enough information to where now somebody said, hey, would you like information on an auto insurance, see if you get a better rate? And you go, yeah. And the next thing you know, the newer State Farm agents, they get that lead and they follow up on it. And then they're, you know, they dog it and they watch it and they've got it down to a science. I don't have to do any of that anymore. Thank God. You know, it's a lot of hard work, but maybe that's all it is it's so different compared to what I came into the industry with. So I don't know if I'm being just your stereotypical cantankerous old man of, or if the industry truly is changing. It's definitely changing, but it may not be as much doom and gloom as I'm seeing, at least from my mindset.
The final couple questions that I have are, do you have any advice for anyone who's interested in becoming an insurance agent? And the second part to that question, do you have any advice to high schoolers in general that you wish you could sort of give to yourself in the past?
As far as for the high schoolers, go with what makes you happy. At your age in high school, it's all about discovery and make the most of your discovery, and God, enjoy this wonderful existence that you have at that age. It is, in so many different ways, one of the highlights of your life. When you start hitting your junior and senior year, those next 6 to 8 years are honest to God, some of the best years of your life. And you will look back on those moments for the rest of your life. There's something really magical about that time from about age 17 until, you know, about 22, 24. So much happens. So much you evolve in such a huge way. You go through a true metamorphosis. And so when you're, if you're going to be doing that, focus on the positive and enjoy what there is to be enjoyed. Don't fret. I mean, you're going to worry, but you're going to worry for the rest of your life. Try not to over worry and otherwise take away from all of the wonderful experiences that you can have at this moment, simply because of your age and your station in life. Make the most of it. You know, go with what you really see as being kind of intriguing and interesting and fun and all of that. Don't beat yourself up, for crying out loud. Life's too short for that. And especially this moment that you're in is a fleeting moment, and that is just absolutely wonderful. My last 2 years at St. Mark's and my first 4 years at SMU were truly the best years of my life. I look back, I've had great moments, but more happened in that space of time than anything else in terms of me becoming the person that I am today. And so try to keep that in mind as you go through and make choices. The other thing I would say is let life happen to you. And in other words, you know, I was talking earlier about things sort of just kind of fell into my lap, fell in front of me. That, you know, I hate giving that out as advice, but I've always been really tuned into being lucky. I've been so very lucky. And I just happen to have made great choices. I mean, just all of the choices that I've had to make, I've kind of fallen into. It's nothing by design. It's not been engineered and arranged. It's just happened. And I looked at it and I thought about it. And I thought, yeah, this looks like a good deal. And I, you know, like the whole State Farm agency thing. I've never liked insurance. I know nothing about it, but it kind of makes sense. And what the hell am I going to do with this degree anyway? Okay, let's go with it. Let's give it a try. Well, that was the same sort of thing when I was a bartender and they said, hey, you know, we really like the way you work. Would you like to get in our management program? And I thought, well, yeah, I don't want to be a manager for the rest of my life, but for this moment, yeah, this works. And that got me other opportunities. So, all right. Now, that's for high school. Now, for the insurance industry, if you're going to choose insurance, you just got to know the first 2 years are your make or break years. You're going to find out whether you can make it in this business or whether you wash out. And it's going to take 2 years for you to do that. I'll never forget, you know, the first month or so that I started as an insurance agent, Dallas Morning News ran a big article on the 10 least trustworthy occupations out there. And number one was a used car salesman. Number two was an insurance salesman. And at first it really bummed me out, thinking, what the hell have I done? Then I realized, well, wait, that's not who I am. I'm not the white belt, white shoes, plaid pants kind of guy. You know, if that's what people really think about what I do, I'm going to blow them away. And because that's not me. And, you know, I've always taken the approach of, I want to know enough about you so that I can give you the information you need to make the best choice for you and your risk tolerance, your needs, et cetera. My job is a facilitator. It's a consultant. And if I do it right, you're going to stay with me and you're going to recommend your friends. And that has always worked for me. And so you want to go into insurance? I'd stay away from the scams. The scams are the life insurance and health insurance companies that get you in for about 3 to 6 months, get you to sign up all your family. And then you wash out because then you run out of everybody. Now you don't know what. There are a lot of scams, but you know, a real career, a real job in insurance involves like, you know, property casualty. Now, there are really, really great life insurance only agents. So I'm not talking about those guys. I mean, they're guys that make huge money in just life insurance annuities and all of that. And I'm not knocking against them. I'm thinking more about, I can't tell you how many people have come up to me saying, hey, I got this job with this XYZ company and they're selling little nickel and dime policies. I've not seen that work, that model work. Now, if you're instead going financial consultant approach to, you know, what they call in that business, elephant hunters, and you're going after the guy that needs, you know, $10 million, $100 million in life insurance, great. You can make a ton of money. You know, as far as what I do, property casualty, homes, cars, the guys that make a whole ton of money in my industry are commercial insurance agents. So your typical St. Mark's kid probably ought to try and figure out if he's interested in insurance, he probably ought to look at going commercial. There's tons of money in commercial. With all the contacts that he's had growing up, there are going to be all kinds of people out there with commercial insurance needs. That would be a really great choice if the idea of going into insurance is something that intrigues people. If you like people, and if you know, I've told you I'm an introvert. I'm a high functioning introvert. I prefer spending time on my own, but I'm also a fraternity president. I also run my own business. I'm an insurance agent. I'm on the phone all day long. How does an introvert do that? Well, a high functioning introvert can do that and get away with it and figure out how to do that and how to not drain his batteries and charge his batteries. But I guess my point is, if you want to go into insurance, you're going to be dealing with a lot of people. You got to have a lot of self-confidence. You got to know how to take rejection professionally and not personally. Your perception has to be, I got to get through the no's to get to that one yes. And then if I'm really good at it, I have fewer no's before I get to the yes. But the no's are a part of the whole deal. And you just got to deal with it. And you can't take it personally. You can't let it get you down. And it occasionally does, especially when you lose a client. That's tough. But, you know, not winning one is a whole lot easier than losing one. So if I, you know, make a pitch to you and try to get your insurance and you say, hey, thanks, but no, you're, you know, $5 a month more, sorry. Okay, I can handle that. I deal with that every day. But if I've had you as a 10-year client, you say, you know, this other guy, he made me an offer of $5 a month less, and you actually take it, that's like a stab in the heart to me. And what it tells me is that I failed in creating the relationship between you and me that and I've said this to my staff for decades. I want to make sure that the relationship that our clients have with us is so strong that when they get that call or that approach or whatever it is that says, hey, I think we can save you some money on your insurance, I want our clients to say, you know, I got a great guy. I've been with him. I'm really happy with him. Thanks. I appreciate it. I probably could save money, but I don't want to. That's my goal in what I do. And if you can go in with that mindset with insurance, I think you'll do great. And look, like I say, there are a whole lot of smart St. Mark's kids that could run circles around me in terms of turning what I do into a much more lucrative money-wise. But that's not been that important for me. So I haven't wanted to work that hard.
Thank you for taking the time to answer these questions. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Hey, thanks. It's been an enjoyable time to get to know you. And I wish you the very, very best in your senior year. This is going to be the best year that you've had until you get to your freshman year. And then that's going to even be better. So you're in for just some great times of self-discovery and evolution. And I envy the fact that's where you are.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks to everyone who's listening for choosing to spend your time with this podcast. I really appreciate it. Please be sure to check out the pathfinder101.com website for more information like this. And have a great rest of your day.